the Premier of New South Wales, his name is Chris Minns. He's actually been very good in
Yes,
the area. He actually tried to stop this protest. I think it was
yes.
a judge that sort of overruled the police and overruled
And he,
them.
in general, actually, he's probably one of the only ones that done actually some really good things for anti-Semitism, you know, in terms of responding to anti-Semitism in the state of New South Wales.
You are listening to the JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G,
and I am Rabbi Levy.
And we hope you enjoy this episode.
And welcome everyone to a new JP episode. It is the day after Tisha B'Av, the day at we when recording this. This is the day after Sunday when we commemorated and mourned the destruction of both temples. And of course, reflected on our core belief that we have to really have hope for the future and believe that we have a bright future and ultimately we'll have the rebuilding of the third temple with Mashiach. And in the meantime, we have another show. Levi, how are you?
Yeah, a little tired. Fast day always knocks me out a little bit
Knocks
the
you
next
out,
day.
yes. Yeah, I understand.
But in Australia, it's not too bad. It ends relatively early. Israel and America, it's much later, so it could be worse.
That's correct.
So yesterday was Tisha B'Av, it was Sunday, and for those who live in Australia, and also actually, it was even made it in international news. Actually, I saw it on in different places. There was this massive march yesterday across the Harbour Bridge, which was one of the icons of Sydney. It's a famous bridge. Everyone in the world knows what it is. 100,000 people marched on the Harbour Bridge against Israel, chanting death to the IDF, hate-filled slogans. 100,000 people. It's a lot of people. And I think it's quite confronting for many people who live here. It's confronting everywhere, but especially if you live here, that means 100,000 of your neighbors really don't like you too much, and definitely don't like Israel too much. And it's a scary occurrence, can I say? It's definitely not. It's very unsettling.
Yep, it is.
Do you agree with that assessment?
I certainly do. Look, I think before we can talk about how we respond to it and what our thinking has to be, we don't have to be in denial. It was a terrible, terrible thing. It's a blood libel. I mean, they're chanting, they're accusing Israel of things that are just blatant lies. And that kind of thing is just going on. I mean, I read the other day that the famous thing, New York Times published on their X account, supposedly a starving child in Gaza, and then retracted it because actually it was a child with a disease, which is a terrible thing. No children should have diseases, but it wasn't nothing to do with malnutrition because his mother was there and his brother was there and they were both pretty well fed. But they retracted it on a different account that they have 8,000 followers. So it's between 5 million followers and 8,000 followers. I mean, it's just horrendous. And it's like it was a very weak retraction, when it was completely falsehood and it was just unbelievable. And, blaming the wrong person, the wrong party. Obviously, I mean, it's just a slander that Israel wouldn't want people to be able to eat and children not be able to eat and so on and so forth, right? Forgetting, of course, who started all of this, who's responsible for all this, and how it could very quickly end with the return of the hostages and the laying down of arms. So, yeah, very, very confronting. And I think a lot of people, I imagine, didn't even know why they were there. Probably don't understand half the slogans they're chanting, but nevertheless, they're in the wrong place, following the media. I think a lot of modern day and mainstream media have a lot to answer for. They're the ones who promulgate these lies. I think we have to call it what it is. It's just terrible. I know we don't talk politics, but our government is not doing much either. Rewarding Hamas with the recognition of a state. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's actually
I
ridiculous.
will say from what I from the limited that I know, the Premier of New South Wales, his name is Chris Minns, he's actually been very good.
Yes.
Area, he actually tried to stop this protest. I think it was
Yeah.
a judge that sort of overruled the police and overruled
And he,
them.
in general, actually, he's probably one of the only ones that done actually some really good things for anti-Semitism, in terms of responding to anti-Semitism in the state of New South Wales. Listen, I mean, it's not about politics, but it's about we are living in a very, it's a confronting time. It is. However, go for it. What's the however?
So I guess the however is, like we always say, I mean, this is nothing new. I mean, this is nothing new. We for 2,000 years. I mean, we just, as you said, commemorated Tisha B'Av. Jewish people have been through this and worse, and yet we're still here, and we're going to keep on going, and we're going to keep on going with positivity and hope. It's just, it is hard when it's on your doorstep, and you can, you know, raise all types of fears and anxieties, and when terrible things happened to your people not so long ago, and then, you know, you seem to see the same things happening again, it could be very, very confronting. I have, you know, I guess there's a number of things that could be said here, in terms of how we can confront this and still be positive. I did have a different thought. I would love to hear what you think about it, which I don't know if everyone would agree with me if you should do such a thing, but I think, you know, we have this principle that we should learn a lesson from everything, even bad things. Actually, you know, I think you've spoken about this in the past. There's even things that's written that you should learn from a thief. You know, how to serve God. Different. Obviously, the thieving is bad, but the strategies and the different things one can learn a lesson of how to serve God. I did think to myself that you had 100,000 people show up for a terrible cause. It was pouring rain yesterday, terrible storms, and yet 100,000 people showed up. And maybe what we can do is learn from that in the positive. Many times, you know, we want to do a mitzvah, want to show up to a class, want to show up to a shiur, and you know, it's just raining outside, it's difficult, I'm tired, I'm hungry, and you know, if someone could believe in such a bad cause for with such conviction that they're ready to march on a bridge in terrible weather, well, let's do that in the positive and even more.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. Like, I think it's our only response. Our response is not to hide, not to retreat. That has never, ever worked. Really never worked. Assimilation has never worked. It's never squashed anti-Semitism in any way. Hiding and retreating has never worked. We have to stand up tall and understand and really believe that we are here to stay, and we should march in the spiritual sense. I mean, I think in terms of what we should do, I mean, someone asked me this yesterday, how come we're not marching and protesting? There are wiser people than us in this regard. We have a very, very fantastic lay leadership here in Sydney, and they do wonderful work, and it's their call. I mean, they'll know what to do and how to enroll themselves in advocacy and so on. But I think spiritually speaking, we need to know what we need to do as Jews, and we need to respond with pride, with conviction, and yes, and march even when it's hard. Spiritually speaking, and also remember, like, just have the pride that we are still. I mean, we both watched an unbelievable video yesterday, and a few things that struck us both, I think, and one of those was, it was about the, it was discussing about the potential hidden artifacts from the temple that may be still, or perhaps are still, in the Vatican, deep down, buried down, not open to the public. And the researcher, his name is Yoel Gold. He was in Rome, interviewed different people. I mean, it is unbelievable that there's communities in Rome, there are people, families in Rome, that can trace their family history back 2,200 years ago while the temple still stood. And they're still here, and they're still going to shul, they're still doing mitzvot, they're still reading the Megillah on Purim and observing Tisha B'Av, and it's really incredible. Whereas in the same city, there's the Arch of Titus, which supposedly is commemorating, was there to build, and to Titus, of course, was the Roman evil Roman general that destroyed the temple and brought slaves from Jerusalem to work in Rome, and they made an Arch of Titus to glorify him and to symbolize his victory, and he's not here, nor is his empire. There's not much left except for some archaeology left from the Roman Empire. Jewish religion is a living, it's unbelievable. It's a living religion, same practices, same rituals, same everything so many thousands of years ago, and all the other empires that tried to destroy us are no longer here. At the same time, of course, we have to pray, and we have to really pray and say Tehillim and really ask God. I mean, yes, we are still here, but we've had some bad injuries on the way, and we don't want them. But there's no question that we're not going anywhere. The only answer is faith, resilience, spiritual resilience, and extra Jewish pride.
For sure. I think another point to remember, and although we're obviously, I'm assuming everyone listening to this as well, is staunchly pro-Israel, and not only pro-Israel, so that's probably even the wrong word. We are Israel, right? This is our
Or
land. This is
Jewish.
our. We're Jewish, exactly. And we believe in the cause, but it is sometimes, when you are bombarded with accusations from all sides, from media, from governments, from and seems to be almost from every single government, Australia, England, Canada, all these so-called, I mean, there are democracies and Western countries that should know better, seem to be all on the other side. And you see 100,000 people, which is not a majority necessarily, but it's a lot of people. You can almost sometimes start doubting yourself, like maybe we're missing something. And I think it's also very important to remember that majority, and this is also proven throughout history, and I think it's a very Jewish concept as well. Majority actually doesn't mean anything. Majority does not mean that they're right, right? I mean, this goes back to the very first Jew, Abraham. In fact, the term that we use nowadays in modern Hebrew for Jew is Yehudi, which comes from the Megillah. But the truth is, the term that was used before was Ivri. Yonah HaNavi, Jonah the prophet, refers to himself as Ivri Anochi. I am an Ivri. The word Ivri actually means on the other side, because it says that Avram, that Abraham was on one side, and the entire world believed differently. He believed in one God, and everyone else bowed down to idols. And yet he was right. So what if the majority of people think something? So what?
Correct. In Kabbalah, this world is referred to as Alma de Shikra. In Talmud also, actually, the world of untruth, the world of falsehood. That's what it is. Our job to spread truth. We can't let us, we have to stand up tall. It's such an obvious choice. It's wrong and it's right, and we know what right is. Israel's the most moral army in the world. The Jewish people adhere to, I mean, we commit ourselves to living a moral life. We are on the right side. We are doing what's correct. I mean, even in this war, it's such a stupid thing anyway, because if Israel did not want to be moral, it could have ended this war a long time ago.
That's correct.
Right. And we paid a very, very high price for its morality.
Yes.
So, that's just stupid. But unfortunately, the media does spread good stories. Falsehood sells. Drama sells, dramatic, being dramatic sells. And therefore, we create narratives. And it's just so easy to create narratives. I mean, it's one of the lessons you learn up here. How easy it is to create a narrative. Use big words, words like genocide, words like this, words like that, and then you create a narrative, and people just follow. And one of the lessons we need to learn generally is that we shouldn't just follow. We should do what's right, not bow to social pressure, not bow to cultural pressure. Do what is correct.
And I think I've said this in the past, but it's always good to think about again. If you look at the majority of the world right now and what they're saying, maybe it's time that we question a lot of what they're saying. And I mean specifically morally speaking, right? As the Jewish people, we're lucky to have a Torah that has commandments, that has a moral code, how we should live our life. And it's very not in sync with the majority of the world at the moment, in any area of life, actually. Maybe we should pause and think, just like they have this wrong, they have other things wrong also. I'm not saying that the world can't come up with anything good. I'm just saying that morally speaking, it's a confused world.
Correct. Very, very confused and very distorted world. And I think the only way we do that is we have to learn. We have to study. We have to look into it. We have to explore. Now is a better time to actually explore. What does it mean to be Jewish? What is Judaism? What and to dig deep and to understand and to really understand and then try to apply. What does it mean to be Jewish?
So, do you have any other
Now
reactions to
look, we
that?
just I always say, and I think that's true. Maybe it's harder, but it's still true. We have only one path. That's the path of emunah, the path of faith. God is in charge. He knows what he's doing, but we have to believe in the power of prayer. We have to believe in the power of a mitzvah. We have to believe in the power of Jewish pride, and upwards and onwards. We will get over this, and we will prevail.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's keep on going with positivity and hope, and we'll definitely win this.
And maybe we should take some of the time that we look just looking at the news so we don't get all frazzled. I mean, it's good to know what's going on, but we should minimize the time we look at the news and spend more of that time in good things.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, that's right. Which actually benefits which actually can produce good results. Looking at the news doesn't help anyone.
Correct.
Praying, doing a mitzvah, doing something positive, helping someone else out, that actually
Correct.
brings
Correct.
good energy.
Correct.
All
Okay,
right, everyone.
let's hope we have a good week and lots of good news.
Amen.
All the best, everyone. See you next week.